Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening at cindysheehansoapbox.com. This is the first show of the new year, and this is actually going into our third year of existence here on the Soapbox. It doesn't seem possible to believe, but it is possible. And everybody here at Cindy Sheehan Soapbox wants to wish you all and us all a very happy revolutionary new year. I have a feeling that 2011 is going to be our year for once. Our guest today on the Soapbox really needs no introduction, so I'm not even going to attempt to introduce her. But when we come back from this short break, we'll be chatting with Yoko Ono Lennon. This is Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, and I'm Cindy Sheehan. Stay tuned.
A Nation Rocked to Sleep, written and read by Carly Sheehan. Have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? The torrential rains of a mother's weeping will never be done. They say he's a hero. You should be glad that he's won. But have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? He must be brave because his son died for another man's lies. The only grief he allows himself are long, deep sighs. Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? They say he died so the flag will continue to wave, but I believe he died because they had oil to save. Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep? The leaders want to keep you numb so the pain won't be so deep. But if we, the people, let them continue, another mother will weep. Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep?
D-ball! There's matches in the bathroom just below the stairs. Always something happening and nothing going on. Always something.
Yoko, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Hi, Cindy. I'm really glad that I'm finally talking to you. And I'd just like to say that I always had so much respect for you. I have so much respect for you for being so strong. And, you know, you went through some really horrible situation.
Yes.
I have gone through similar situations, so I know how it is. And you just turned your experience into something that very powerful, that you can give the powerful, incredible wisdom to all of us.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I'm so honored by your support because you've, like you said, you've gone through a lot of the same things I've gone through, and we're still going through them. And so let's get just right into the interview, because I want to also send the love and admiration of literally thousands of my supporters and listeners to this show that have just been flooding me, saying, tell Yoko we love her so much.
Well, you know, they are really giving you a lot of power, but also, you know, the experience that you had is really changed into a big, big power and energy for you. And I think that's because the spirit of your dear one is still around and really helping you.
Oh, thank you so much. And the spirit of your dear one, too, is also around and helping us,
well,
too.
Well, I believe that. Yes, I think so, yeah.
Well, let's get into these questions.
Sure.
You've been involved in trying to make peace for so long, and decades, literally. And from your perspective, do you think that the U.S. peace movement is failing?
No, it's not failing at all. I think that it's increasing from 40 years ago, 30 years ago, was it? You know, I think that many, many people joined the movement and were very, very strong together. I think that maybe 99% of the world is really wishing for world peace.
Right.
And the 1% is still a bit naughty.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's going to change. That's going to change very soon, I'm sure.
Well, the U.S. Empire is still involved in these quagmires in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan. We're bombing with drones, and our troops are actually going in on the ground in Pakistan with many.
Well, you know, it's a very difficult time.
Right.
And so it's very easy to get disappointed and depressed. But we just can't do that. We just have to stick together and try to imagine peace and bring peace together.
Well, that's your in your opinion, we're moving in the right direction.
Well, I think so. You know, the reason I think that it's very exciting is because the battle at dawn is always the worst,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that we are actually standing at the dawn of the new age.
How can we do better? Because, like you said, 99% of the world wants peace. How can we reach those people and work together with them to actually move that 1% in our direction?
And it's so amazing that we were doing so many incredibly bad things, and that we didn't know that we were that bad. And those are things that are coming out now. And many people are frightened about it. And they say, well, I mean, we're not really close to going into world peace. No, we are. Because unless we know everything that we did, we cannot have a peaceful world.
Well, you come from a country, and you were involved in actually a really terrible war in your youth. How did your experiences as a young person in Japan during World War II shape your current views about peace?
Well, it was very bad. But you see, because that's the only reality I knew as a child,
mm-hmm.
and so it was easier to deal with it probably in that sense. I just went through it as... knowing thinking that that was life, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have to do. We have to know that this is life, and we're together, and that's the best thing about it. If you yourself is just the only person who is suffering from it, then you really feel so unfair and everything. But whenever I feel that this is a terrible situation, I think about the people who really don't have roofs over their heads,
mm-hmm.
or people who had lost their parents, and
mm-hmm.
and their children who were maimed and orphaned. I think that we are in a position where we're very, very lucky that we can still say that we can be moving around liberally, and
mm-hmm.
And so that we just have to be the ones who would help those people, help each other, and make a better world.
That leads to my next question.
Yes,
very
okay.
beautifully. You know, you have had to withstand a lot of attacks and, you know, horrible things said about you and to you, and
different
struggles. Where do you get your strength and the grace to overcome it and to be so... you know, so sweet and filled with hope.
Because that was the only thing I could have done. I mean, there was no choice. I was up against this whole thing about people hating me,
mm-hmm.
For what I haven't done.
Right.
And so, in a way, it was a very good education. Just like the World War II was very good education for me, because there was a time when, I was brought up in a very kind of comfortable situation,
mm-hmm.
and so I was lucky that way. But then suddenly, during the war, we all became very hungry. we couldn't find anything to eat, etc. And so now, when I hear about children in the world who are hungry and they don't have things to eat, I know exactly how they feel. I mean, I know it
mm-hmm.
with my body, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and that's very important, I think, because I feel their urgency. And likewise, the fact that I was hated so much for not doing what they thought that I've done.
Right.
It's almost like being a criminal in a prison. It's a criminal, innocent person in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do understand. I think I understand the feelings of those people. And I think it's very important that I have that understanding.
Well, it's great to look at the old videos of you and you with John, and you were always just had you guys both had your heads held up high, and you didn't try and hide from anything. You were all both just very open with your situation and with what was going on.
Well, you see, the thing that was the most horrible thing that I never thought that I would experience was just suddenly having John take away from me.
Yes.
In a way that I just never expected.
Mm-hmm.
And also nobody expects them to be a widow. And I became one, and therefore now I know what it is to be a widow, and so many people in the world who are widows, and their suffering mm-hmm. is a very, very unique kind of suffering that
right.
they have.
Right.
And I understand that, you know.
I want to go back to your childhood in Japan for a second. My youngest daughter is a mother of two young children, and she is so worried right now about the state of the world. Did you think when the bombs were dropped, the atomic bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that was the end of the world? Did you think that, you know, these many decades later, that humanity was still going to survive?
Well, I didn't think it was the end of the world, but I thought it was a terrible thing that happened. Of course, it was a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we should never let happen again. And we keep saying about horrible things that that is happening in the world, that we should never let it happen again. And we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do let them happen. And so we have to change that. We have to know that probably it is much easier to talk to each other than to fight.
Right.
And, well, you know, that sounds like such an optimistic thing to say, but optimism at this point is very necessary, I think.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I try to tell my daughter, too, that every generation has its own worries and, you know, we are worried about the future and worried about our children, but somehow we survive, and we have to struggle together to make sure that the world does survive in a healthy way for all the children of the world, not just our own children.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, our thinking, our emotion, our intent, all that counts, you know. I mean, in fact, it's very strong. And so we can keep on not thinking that, oh, we can't do it, but think that we will do it. We can do it, and we will, you know, and that's the only way that we can do it.
Sometimes our victories are just in the struggle, I think, and so that's why we have to keep on struggling.
Well, I know how you must feel, Cindy, because you're working night and day, and the way you're working is so powerful, but constant. And so sometimes, you must feel always that somehow people are not really following you. Well, but we are all following you. You know, we are all together with you. And so let's see what happens. But, you know, the worst is that we'll all die together. But, and, you know, that's what it is. But I don't think we're coming to that. I think that the human race has created such an incredible, incredible civilization
mm-hmm.
and culture. And I don't want to destroy all that.
Right.
I think when I see a beautiful culture being destroyed, or shall we say that we are destroying them, I feel so bad. And that's just as bad. Well, I wouldn't say that's just as bad. It's not that as bad as live people and animals being destroyed or hurt.
Right.
But still, you know, we have created something here, and we want to keep it, and we want to develop it, and let it grow, and make it a beautiful thing to make sure that our civilization would be so powerful and strong and good that it would save all of us on the planet. And that's not just us,
right?
All of us and the animals as well, other animals as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. As a dedicated activist for equality, what did you think about the recent repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, I really think that we have to keep on focusing on what we can do and not get involved with what is happening, the happenings that we can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to keep on doing what we're doing. And that's very important, because if we start to think about other things that are happening that it has nothing to do, well, that we can't do anything about, then we'll be powerless.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep our power to what we do. And what we do, regardless of what is happening in the world, is the only thing that we can bring to the society in such a way so that it would have some power and could change the world.
So what you're saying is that people are equal no matter if the United States government passes a law or not saying that they're equal, that we have to live our lives like we are equal with each other?
Well, you see, we should not be, we should not rely so much on whatever is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Governments are not that powerful. They're not powerful things, you know, and we're sort of trying to say, you better do something for us,
right?
And then we get very angry and trying to change them. Instead of that, we have to use that energy for us to do something, and we can. And I think that each one of us, if we did one or two very small things every day in our lives that we can do,
mm-hmm.
That's going to accumulate into big power. I know it sounds, maybe you might think it's silly. I don't think it is. But a person can do some good every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a dramatically big thing.
Right.
It could just be like cleaning up your house or your, even your room. And just be nice to people who are around you. We're so upset about the world and what the governments are doing, etc. So, and then we put our energy in fighting that we forget about the very sweet, nice, good people around us. And we just have to give our energy to those people and to us and keep on doing what we can do in our own environment. And that environment is actually very, very important. Just as important as what the governments are doing, or maybe even more. And so we just have to keep on doing what we can do, and you do what you can do, I do what I can do, and together it's going to accumulate into an incredible power. And this is what I learned. It's very interesting.
Yes.
That somebody was researching about the waves in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out that even a small pebble that you just drop in the ocean is going to affect the whole ocean of the whole world, just
mm-hmm.
like that, immediately. I mean, even if a little boy would just jump into the ocean just to around the edge of the water,
uh-huh.
and that movement of the water affects the whole movement of the water in the world right away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? That means that you can do what you can, or you can, when you do what you do that you believe in, that immediately changes the whole world. And you would not know that so much. You would think, oh, I didn't do anything that was effective. Actually, it was. Actually, it is. And we can all do that. So I call us a small pebble people. And we can all be small pebble people. And that's the only way that we can get there. Not dramatic acts, because the dramatic acts always will have some kind of repercussion. You drop a huge, huge rock in the water, and then that has a repercussion. But it may be that would affect the whole world too, but the same as the small pebble.
Well, that's very, you know, that's so inspiring. I talk to a lot of college students, and I tell them the same thing. You know, I say you have to pick something that you care about, a cause or a, you know, a person, and just try and make your immediate circle.
The cause can be to make your daughter happy, or right. make your mother happy, and just by calling them and saying, "Hi, what are you doing today? I mean, I was thinking about you." You know, we just have to have that unilateral kind of power together. We have to create that. We have to keep on, continue to keep that going. Instead of getting so angry and frightened because, the people we think that should be very effective are not doing very much, or maybe they have a different idea from us.
Right,
you know?
Right. And then people get paralyzed thinking that they can't make a difference when, like you said, they're trying to make a huge splash instead of, you know, a more gentle, more effective ripple.
Well, some people might think, well, you know, that's not very effective. You just see that the opposition are now very, very well tuned into what we do. And so that if we marched, it's not effective so much because they don't report that. Some people can go to jail, or some people can be hurt because they're marching, you know. And I do know that there's a country where there's an incredible injustice and violence. And I was thinking, oh, those people, terrible. I mean, what are they doing? But I found out that there was thousands of people got together and had a peace march, but none of us know that because it was not reported.
Right, exactly.
And that's the kind of thing that we have to know, that now is the time that we have to start a new kind of way of dealing with this situation. Yes, you know, waving flags was okay in the 60s maybe, but now we have to rely on the power of our thoughts. Now that, you know, think about that. The thoughts generate thoughts, and we can count on that. It's a very, very strong way of doing something, because they can't really affect our thoughts. They can't really get into our heads.
Well, that's one place they can't violate us. They can't violate us yet about that. You know, your best guess as probably the person that knew John Lennon the best out of, you know, anybody that was close to him, if he were alive today, how do you think he would be feeling about what's happening in the world? What do you think he would be doing?
Well, I know that he was an activist before there was we used that word activist.
Right.
And, he was really very, very saddened by the situation in the world, the violence and the wars. And now I think he'd be furious. But you see, at the same time, he believed in taking sad songs and making it better.
Right.
And I think that luckily we have this thing called computer. And the power of understanding each other and communicating with each other is very, very strong now. And I'm sure that he would have used that and communicated his thoughts.
He would probably have a blog that we would all be reading every day. And you were a huge influence on him and his trajectory as a peace activist. And you've been just, mega persistent in your quest for peace. So I'm sure that you're right. I think that we all think that we know John and that he's still living through you and through your work. And, you know, my feeling is that you're right, that you would still be partners and you would still be educating people and trying to lead this world down a better path like you have been doing all along these years. So, Yoko, you are an artist. You have your own art and your own music. What are you doing right now, and what are your future plans?
Well, my plan is always to make it better for all of us. And my New Year's resolution is a very simple one, that I would like to do my best every day. And that's all I can do. But also, I don't list things, what I'm doing or what I will do. It's like, it's very, very much like what women do. Women are always taking care of like 20 different things, and we can do it.
Right.
But then if somebody said, what are you doing? Well, it stops us. Oh, what is it? No, we can't stop. We just have to keep on doing.
Oh, I always feel, too, that we also have to be flexible, because things that are the way they are today might not be the way they are tomorrow.
Exactly. Oh, that's another thing. We have to remember that each time we have to know exactly what to do according to how it is, instead of saying, well, this is what I always did, so I'm going to do it this way. It doesn't work that way. And especially now, things are changing so rapidly. So we have to be extremely wise about it. And we are. We are wise. We're getting wiser and wiser. The whole world is getting wiser.
Right.
And that's the other side of the coin. It's nice that we're getting wiser, because we have to.
A survival.
Yes. And I believe that, let's give ourselves a chance, to survive. We should survive together, and I think we can.
How how's your family doing?
Well, thank you. They're doing fine, and I'm just amazed that my son and my daughter, they're grown-up people. I still think of my son as, are you 5 years old? No, you're not.
I know, huh? They'll always be our babies. Time goes by too fast. Well, while we have you on the phone, and we do have a few minutes left, is there anything else you'd like to tell the people who are listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, that maybe ways that you think that we can work together as the 99% to resist the crimes and the violence of the other 1%?
Well, I think that sadly, there's not one cause that will complete what we want to do.
Right.
And there's so much that we have to do. So when you start thinking about that, you think, well, we just can't do it. I mean, there's so many things we have to do. So don't feel that way. Just do exactly what your heart tells you to do every day. And I think that this is the time that I have to say this to young people. We're all young, and we are still young. But what it is that it's an age where goodness counts a lot. We have to start bringing goodness. We don't have to be hip. We just have to be wise and do good things to have a good heart, and which is so important. And all of us can do that. All of us can start to bring out our goodness. And that's where we're going to meet. That's what we're doing together.
Well, thank you so much, Yoko, for being on the show again. We really appreciate it. We're honored by your presence and by your work. And I really have a really good feeling about 2011. I think it's going to be a good year for us.
Yes, well, you know, if it's not going to be good, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And we just have to make it good.
That's right. That's what I mean.
It's up to us, you see. And uh-huh. That's what it is.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean.
Yeah, so let's not sort of like get angry. We just have to know that we are the ones who have to be wise. It's a drag, but we have to be.
Well, we're trying to, just to let you know what we're trying to do in Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox and Piece of the Action is we're trying to create what we call recreating revolutionary communities. And it's where people in their own community work together to do exactly what you said, is not give the government so much power over us, but take the power into our own hands and create healthy and sustainable
exactly.
communities.
Exactly. You see, when two pray together, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. you can get it to happen. And so each time that you have somebody that you really agree with, then that think about that as the revolution, mm-hmm. the creating revolution every day.
Absolutely. And it's easy and it's fun. And we can use the internet to stay together globally and nationally. But all the work needs to be, I think, done in our local communities, all the hard revolutionary work. But the hard work will lead to so much blessings and positive energy and positive things just right in our own homes that I think it'll be really worth it.
Yes, you know, and I just want you to know yet again that I respect you so much and I have so much love for you.
Aww.
I feel that I know exactly how you feel. And sometimes, you know, you feel terrible about the world and sometimes you feel, oh, it's not going to be done. And you probably get exhausted too sometimes, you know. But all in all, you are doing it. You are not allowing all these things to stop you. You're just doing it. And I really respect that. And thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Yoko. And we really appreciate you. And
thank you.
We'll stay in touch. And like I said earlier, I hope one of these days we occupy the same space so we can meet each other in person.
Yeah, but to be that doing that, we are together, right?
That's right. Absolutely. That's the way
yes.
I feel.
So please take care of yourself. I will try my best about me, and one day we should meet, and we have a great laugh.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, that was our first show of 2011, and I hope you'll agree with me that it really was a blockbuster. And we're going to close it with a YouTube by friends of the show, James G. Butler Jr. and John R. Sexton. They have come up with a YouTube of a dramatization of one of Smedley Butler's speeches, Now You Mothers, circa 1938. And we thought that that would be a great way to end the show with two-piece moms, Yoko Ono and Cindy Sheehan. And this video is linked at the website, so you can hear the video for the first time on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We're very proud to premiere it, and you can watch it on YouTube by following the link at cindysheehansoapbox.com. But before I let you go and listen to this speech by Smedley Butler, the dramatization, I'd like to thank, as always, Scott Cuddy, my engineer, Mike, my producer, Rich Bowser, our webmaster, Yoko Ono for being our guest, and you especially for listening, and we hope you tune in next week.
Now, you mothers particularly, the only way you can resist all this war hysteria and the beating of tom-toms is by hanging on to the love you bear your boys. When you listen to some well-worded, well-delivered war speech, just remember that it's nothing but sound. It's your boy that matters. And no amount of sound can make up for the loss of your boy. After you've had one of these speeches, and your blood is all hot and you want to go hit someone, go upstairs where your boy's asleep. Go into his room. You'll find him there. Pillows all messed up, covers all tangled, sleeping away so hard. Look at him. Put your hand on that spot at the back of his neck, the place you used to love to kiss when he was a boy. Just stroke it a little. You won't wake him up. He knows it's you. Just look at his strong, fine young body, because only the best boys are chosen for war. Look at his splendid young creature who's a part of yourself. You brought him into the world. You cared for him. That boy relies on you. Now close your eyes and I'll tell you what can happen to him. Somewhere, thousands of miles away, dark, night, cold, all hell has broken loose. A bombshell burst into the air, its unearthly flare lights up the sky. There's a lot of tangled, old, rusty, barbed wires out there, and somewhere a boy is hanging over them, his guts ripped out, his lips white, drawn, and he's feebly calling for help, for water, for his mother. He's in agony. There's your boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Marines hymn. From the halls of my